Hello.
How are you?
Doing and living a good life.
Welcome to my world.
Your world. Happy to be in it.
Or as Elvis would have said, welcome to my world. And one of those
deals.
Love
that song.
How are you?
I'm living good.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's interesting, as we were talking with the former heavyweight champion of the world, George Foreman, my daughter was very excited that I had the guy, the grill guy, coming on. She's 10. My son was 13, said, you got the guy who fought Muhammad Ali coming on? So everybody, and I was just at a different radio station, and the guy that was the guy in the lobby doing the mail said to me, you got the guy that does the Meineke ads? So it's all the same guy.
All the same guy.
Wow, you're a busy man.
I like to stay busy. You know, life is so good, so many things to do. There's no reason to sit around and be sad about anything.
Now, the guy Dave at the lobby said to me, Mark, you got to ask him, the first question you should ask him is, why are all his sons named George? So I guess I'll start there.
Good reason. Well, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, Evander Holyfield, they all hit me on the head. You can't remember a lot of names afterwards. You got to pick one name and stick with it.
but you do call them like...
preparation for memory loss.
You got like George 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you ever confuse?
Yeah, but those numbers get mixed up. You just call George, and they all come, then you sort things out. But it's a nice thing to have all the kids with the same name, so
yeah,
that's kind of fun. They all come to you, and what's really nice about it, they love it. They're proud of it.
Do you ever think about naming the daughters George as well?
I have Georgetta.
Yeah.
And then there's Frieda George for me. And then my wife is telling me, look, I'll remember the rest of the name. Stop.
Well, see, maybe your wife could have helped you with all the boys' names as well.
And she could have. I wish she had. But you know what? You get one name. I've even petitioned her to change her name to Wife George.
But now, how long have you been married?
The same name. It only caused problem when the teachers call in reporting that one is not doing well.
Uh-huh.
And you're almost embarrassed to ask, which one? You have to let it slide and then question them later.
Okay, which one are you guys with the bad ones? That's funny. Now, how long have you been married?
Beg your pardon?
How long have you been married, George?
Over 20 years, over 21 or so, 22 years, something like that.
So your wife must be quite busy with all these kids.
Oh, she raises them all, even some of the ones I had before I was married, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all babies. Every one of them are babies. They're all spoiled. You kick them out of the front door, and they come back in the back.
Yeah. My wife is a big fan of your grills. We use one here all the time. In fact, it's interesting because, you know, if you're cooking fish or something, which I'm not really a big fan of.
Oh, no.
It tastes great on the grill, though, you know?
It is. That grill has helped me, I tell you, because, you know, most men, we all fall prey to eating leftovers. We come home at night, and you warm up food, and that'll kill you. That's why women outlive us. But with the grill, you put a fresh piece of prime rib, slice it, put your vegetables right on the grill. Within 10 or 15 minutes, you have yourself a meal, and you'll live longer.
It's excellent. You know, I guess the question is, how did you get involved in the grill thing, and did you ever, in your wildest dreams, think it would be the huge success it was?
I can answer that right off. No, I had no idea. But the grill was there, and I was pretty successful on Madison Avenue doing endorsements and all of that nature. And some friends approached me, why don't you get your own product? I said, sure, how much money? They said, no. We're not going to pay you. Get your product. We'll become partners. And I got this grill. No one was caring about it. And Salton made it a beautiful piece of furniture. And I said, boy, I want a bunch of those. When I saw our son did the deal was to get a bunch of those grills, never knowing that I would sell over 60 million of those things. And really, I was a successful boxer making a lot of money. So it wasn't like I was motivated by the money part of it. But I cannot believe how successful that thing became. And what really makes you happy is because people meet you and they smile about it. That's greater than any financial reward.
Wow. Yeah, it's been unbelievable for you. You got a birthday coming up, don't you?
January the 10th.
Yeah, happy birthday.
56 years old. You know, I love it.
Happy birthday.
Yep, it'll be running the corner.
You know,
and the curse of the grill is that after you've done the grill, 10 years, I was heavyweight champ of the world about 10 years ago. I still can do it right now because I'm in good shape. That's why I just did this last video, Walking Off with George.
Uh-huh.
People ask me, George, how did you do it? How are you doing it? So I stopped talking about it, and I did the video so people can watch me and go at home and do the same workouts with me.
Yeah, that's cool. So you can go to walkwithgeorge.com for information on the Walk With George
thing. I'll tell you, I'm the motivator. Come right in the gym. You know, because so many people, just start, especially this time of year, I've been there myself. First of the year, I'm going to be in shape. The people give them a membership to a health studio. Then you think, I'm not going over there alone. I don't want people looking at me. You know, I've been through that too. But with this, you just put it on, and I'm your partner. Will you watch me, and we do it together. Not an average guy doing it too. Not some carved out cardboard guy. I'm a real man, a real human being, just like the people at home who get the video. We're just real people doing it together.
Now, who's Petra Colbert?
Oh, Petra.
Petra.
Petra's good. She's really an expert at working out. Expert. I show her a little bit about boxing, and she said, well, let's do it so a girl can do it, a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so she picks it up and do it her way, and I do it my way. And before you know it, truck drivers as well as future president of the United States, women can do it too.
You get to walk
that's
it off with George.
Women who can become president. That's our answer, you know. Women president.
There you go.
That's the answer.
Well, that's what Hillary Clinton wants to see.
We'll take a mini. If it's Ms., I'll vote for her.
Uh-huh.
A Mrs., you know.
I'll
vote for her.
Now, the ones I have here, I have one called Walk and Box, and the other one's called Circuit Walk. Are there more in the series as well?
Yeah, the Circuit Walk, you know, we try to start off where anyone can do it. We don't want to make it too difficult because I was 315 pounds when I started my comeback, and I was just too heavy to get out there and run. So I started walking. I got down to 229 pounds just walking. But I could pick it up as time went by, pick it up to a higher level. And this walking box, a little more extreme, but anyone can still do it. Don't get me wrong. We all can do it.
What motivated you when you were young to go into boxing and to go to Mexico City where you won the gold medal for heavyweight boxing in 68?
I was in a job course, and Lyndon Johnson started his war on poverty in 65.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bully, always fighting in the job course center. And one day, one of the kids we were listening to, Muhammad Ali, he was Cassius Clay fighting Floyd Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you're always picking on people. Why don't you be a boxer if you're so tough? I took the challenge and went to California to another job course center to learn how to box so I could show them I could box and go home and beat people up. Little did I know, I had my first organized boxing match in 67, and 68 I won a gold medal.
Wow.
People were saying, man, you should be heavyweight champ of the world. I said, I'll show you. Next 3 years later, I'm heavyweight champ of the world, and it all happened that quick.
Yeah, because you defeated Joe Frazier to become heavyweight champ.
Defeated Joe Frazier with ease after he had beaten Muhammad Ali. I thought I was the greatest thing they'd ever put on a pair of boxing gloves.
And then a year later, Rumble in the Jungle with Muhammad Ali.
I figured I was just going to put Muhammad Ali out of his misery in one or two rounds. Then after six rounds, he was whispering in my ear, that all you got, George? Man, that was a horror story. Stephen King should have written about that.
But that fight was one that I watched. I mean, I think that was watched around the world. It was so huge.
It was big, the Rumble in the Jungle. I call, and they even made a movie, When We Were Kings.
That's right, yeah.
That's one I call When I Was a Fool. You heard of the rope-a-dope?
Rope-a-dope.
Well, you're talking to the dope.
Yeah.
I let him lay on the rope, and I, like a dope, kept throwing punches until I got tired and fainted.
But I mean,
with the aid of that right hand he hit me with.
Did you ever fight him again after that?
I never fought him again.
Did you want to?
No. Someone beat you. You know, I beat this guy. I beat him up pretty good. Hit him with all the shots I had. And he's screaming, that's all you got? Would you beg to borrow to get in a ring to get back with a guy like that? No way.
Yeah, well, I assume, though, that there it was a big payday, and the rematch would have been even huger at
the
time.
Yeah, me too. I assume that too. But I called him about less than a year ago.
Yeah.
And we were on the phone talking. I said, listen, Muhammad, I think I can get you. I want a rematch. He got real quiet, and then he said, you crazy! No way. But the point of it is, we've become great friends. But we did something together that time that will be remembered for a lot of years. I wish I had known it would be such a great event. I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But you don't enjoy when a guy beats you up and take your title from you in front of the world.
No, but what's amazing to me is that it was 30 years ago, and it just seems like yesterday.
Yeah, 30 years ago. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And he was such a famous guy, Muhammad Ali. I used to like him. You'd hear when he would change his name, he would be on Wide World of Sports and television shows. You'd drop whatever you were doing to see him recite his poems and do the shuffle. He was just the greatest looking guy in the world. He was everything an athlete would want to be, even today. And there I am in the ring with him, trying to knock him out.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, he was someone, and still is, who's world-renowned. Everybody in the world knows Muhammad Ali.
You can't go anywhere in the world, at least I know specifically, because I heard that Ali everywhere for a few years. Ali! But, you know, it's a tremendous thing to just be in the ring with a guy like that, to have part of my life. It'll be written whenever you see Muhammad Ali, they got to write George Foreman.
That's
the
true.
Dope, you know, from the rope-a-dope.
27 years ago, you were in the ring with Jimmy Young.
Yep.
You lost a 12-round decision. What happened in the dressing room? I understand you had some kind of an epiphany that day.
I went back into the dressing room cooling off, and I wasn't a religious man, I tell you that. I just, when Ali was training to outbox me, I was training to kill him. All I wanted to do was just kill people and get my money. I went back to the dressing room, and there I was fighting for my life. You're going to die. Everything I'd ever worked for, I saw float away like piece of paper. You stick a match to it and it crumps, stands there and then crumble away. I heard a voice within my thoughts say, "You believe in God, why are you scared to die?" The stars, the moon, that's what I believed in. I was a rich man. I thought religion was for poor people. And my mother used to say, "Oh Lord, this." I said, "I'm gonna get rich one day so I can stop hearing that." That's what I felt about religion. But then I laid on the dressing room fighting for my life. I jumped up. In a split second, I was dead and alive again. I saw blood on my hand and forehead. I started screaming, "Jesus Christ is coming alive in me." They rushed me to intensive care and kept me in the hospital for a few days. But I had an experience of death and life again. Changed me. I was too scared. I didn't even make a fist for 10 years after that. Then people started calling me Brother George, Reverend George. I was ordained. And my brother Roy and I started a youth center in Houston for kids to come and hang out, stay out of trouble, where I wouldn't preach to them at all, so that they could just know I cared about them. Ran out of money.
It's interesting, though. You talk, it's a real juxtaposition here, because you're talking in one breath about growing up, you know, wanting to beat everybody up, and, you know, and now as an adult, here you are trying to prevent kids from being that kind of anger, to try to you know, be happy and find a place in the world.
And it's so easy, too, because all children need are your attention. They just need your attention. And I started a youth center for the sole purpose of just being there. I've never had to preach one sermon. I don't even take Bibles around to the gym. I'm just there for the kids. And, you know, that good example, they need you. And then they'll change. I've had them come to me and say, "You know, George, I'm going to be a better guy. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop that." I said, And later on, you see them asking for autographs for their children. That's how long I've been there.
Now, any of your sons ever box?
I try to convince them to box, because it would be so easy if my kids could make some money. You know, you send one kid to college, you got to go to another boxing match. Another, you send five, you really got to have a hard boxing career again. And it's very expensive. So, but I'd give them sweatsuits. They'd come back home without one drop of sweat nor dirt on them. I said, "What are you doing?" They said, "We're making A's in school." So they're not any chip off the old block around here.
I guess not, but that's okay, though.
You know what? They're doing what they want to do, and that's most important. But if one would go out on his own or her own and get good at it, and then they really show me they're interested without my participation, I'd be happy to support them in that area.
So
but I wouldn't push one into it.
So you get in the ministry, and as you mentioned, you didn't pick up a boxing glove for 10 years. The people think that the reason that you came back was because you needed money for the church that you were doing.
The church is something that happens for itself. You don't have to. But I had this youth center down the street that I was supporting on my own.
Yeah,
I ran out of money.
Okay.
I just didn't have the money. I had to close the place. Kids were coming in from all over the city. What was I supposed to do? They'd even ask me, "Kids, George, I need my grades. Can you just pay for my grades? I could get my grades." They were doing well in school, but they didn't have money to pay for their classes. And there I was, I used to be a rich athlete. with Rolls Royce, swimming pools, and I couldn't even help kids fulfill their dreams. And I wasn't going to run to the government and say, give me some money. I mean, people are going to say, you begging for money after all the money? So I decided to get back into boxing so I could help them and to raise money. And you know what? I was successful at it.
You sure were.
I was able to get back out there and raise money now to George Foreman Youth Center and all the scholarship programs in the country. Will stand firm for a few years. But I thank God for the strength to do it, because I was hit so hard sometimes in the ring trying to be a boxer at 45, and you don't know where you are. You see five and six guys right in front of you. Turn out there's only one there.
Well.
You try to figure out which one to hit.
You know, it's when you return to the ring, I remember at first it was kind of a spectacle. Everybody said, look at this guy. And then it became kind of, you did such a great job in the ring again, but you also weren't in great shape at that time. I mean, you were in good cardio shape, but you still look like you'd eaten a couple of McDonald's before the match.
Yeah, they joke, how in the world is George? You're gonna be George is gonna become the prodigal son of boxing. He's gonna have to stop looking like the fat calf. I heard sermons.
But I mean that whole thing.
But
the
I
look.
Worked hard. I was dedicated. Yeah. I was 315 pounds when I started. I got down to 229 pounds.
Wow.
229 pounds. Then I figured I'd gotten too small because guys were charging me. Mm-hmm. So I built myself back up to 250 pounds. And that's when I became heavyweight champ of the world again.
But, I mean, during that time, I remember just, you know, you were in McDonald's ads and Doritos and Nike.
That's right.
Kentucky Fried
only
Chicken. You did them all.
True.
You did them all.
I really did.
Yeah.
But somewhere down the line, people didn't understand that I truly was eating and living healthy. And so these young fellas started giving me a chance to fight for the title, thinking it was going to be easy money. And I recaptured the title because I was physically fit.
Yeah, Michael Moore, who was not the same guy as the stupid film guy, but who was the heavyweight champion at the time at 26 years old, he takes on 45-year-old George Foreman and says, here's an easy paycheck for me.
Easy, easy, easy.
But no.
I stood the test. I tell everybody, and I was in Africa fighting Muhammad Ali. I was in good shape. Then I got hungry for a cheeseburger. They said, you can't eat that. You'll spoil everything, George. You're going to lose your conditioning. I begged for one. So finally they gave me a nice burger and a nice skillet. I ate the burger. Muhammad Ali asked me in the seventh round, that all you had? Because of that burger, that was all I had. I lost.
Mm.
20 years later, I'm in the ring with Michael Moore, 26 years old. And I'm in shape again. Everybody's saying, don't do it, George. I wanted a cheeseburger. So a friend brought to me this little funny-looking machine. He said, if you got to eat the burger, put it on this. The grease dropped down. He said, if you like it, I'll put your name on it. I ate the burger. I get in the ring. About the 10th round, Michael Moore's asking me, is that all you have? And I knock him out. I said, I got the new George Foreman, lean, fat-reducing grilling machines. That's how I did it.
That's funny. The year before
if
that.
If you believe that, you'll believe anything.
The year before that was actually when you started the Meineke ads, right?
Yeah, Meineke. You know, car care centers. I love cars. Even to this day, I must have about 40 cars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always fixing something. And I wanted people to have trust in the world of mechanics. And I got this relationship with Meineke in 1991. That's when it was.
Wow.
And we started going around the country telling people about the Meineke discount mufflers. Now Meineke Car Care Center. And it's a trusted place. And people know, you see that picture on the wall. And if you do them wrong, they call me. They email me. And I have to call and email the company back. And they do. And they try to fix things right, make things right.
Yeah.
I love that relationship. It's the longest relationship I've had in the world of advertisement. Long ways over 10 years now.
Well, it's working out for them as well because they got a guy who everybody likes representing them on TV. So.
And a lot of friends I meet in the auto mechanic world, too.
You know, here's another funny thing that I remember now as I'm speaking to you. You actually had a comedy series called George on for a little while.
That's right, my own show named after me, George.
Yeah.
And it lasted for about, 15, 14, about 12 episodes.
Yeah, well, how did that even come about that you got the show, and what did you feel like when you heard it was gone?
Oh, I was so happy, it was going to be a comedy show. I was called at home. They said, are you interested in a TV show? I said, well, certainly. And then went to Hollywood, ABC, and they developed a show all around me, the ex-boxer in retirement. And it lasted for a long time. A lot of good ratings, but it wasn't the top of the line. And when they canceled the show, I told my daughter, I said, look, they canceled my show. She said, it was all about laughing, wasn't it? I said, yep. She said, keep laughing. keep smiling.
Yeah.
And I did. It was a wonderful opportunity to be on television, to be viewed by millions like that. Everybody could see George Foreman, a guy who had started from Fifth Ward. And I remember running from the police in 1964. They were charging, getting on my trail, and I had to hide because I just finished mugging some guys, my friends and I. And I crawled under the house to hide from the police, and I heard the sirens going around. I knew they had the trouble in my neighborhood with these big dogs, and I figured if they can't find me, they're going to put these dogs and come under the house and sniff me and bite me. And I saw a sewage pipe, and I heard when criminals were running from the police, they get in the water and the dogs can't smell them. So I covered myself with sewage so the dogs wouldn't smell me. And there I was from that point doing my own television show. That's the kind of world we live in.
Wow.
Named after me. Boy, other people, I don't care who you are, but I'll always be grateful for this country.
Did you ever, have they ever thought about taking that series and putting it on DVD and releasing the set?
It's coming soon, believe you me. I've tried to buy them. They're not even for sale.
Really? Because that would be a great thing. I think that actually would sell incredibly well on DVD.
Yeah, they won't even sell them to me.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's what happened. But, you know, I'm just happy to be involved with that. You know, there was only about 20 or so of the with Jackie Gleason show. What was it?
The Honeymooners.
Honeymooners.
Yeah.
There was only a little more than like 20 or some of those.
Yeah, Bosom Buddies only had like 12 shows ever made, too.
You know, and those are some good, greatest shows. I bought them out. I even rebought them now.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, so I was just happy to be a part of television, and it showed me that if you can dream in this country, if you just want to dream, you can do anything you want.
Well, I predict that that show will get out on DVD and sell another multiple million copies of that thing.
And I'm just happy to be involved with it. You know, like I said, it's great even to be speaking with you this morning. 1968, I won a gold medal in Mexico City. Here it is, 2005. I'm speaking to you, one of the greatest talk show guys in the world.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't
never
say that.
Never accept anything but celebrities. And I grew up with you. You know, I love it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that the whole thing is, by the way, I got to tell you, my wife is very excited. She told me that the only thing she disliked about the grills all along was the fact that it was tough to clean. And now she said they come apart and you can actually clean them.
The new grilleration.
Yep.
Pick it apart, put it right in the dishwasher, or like I do, I wash them in the sink, and you clean them and put them right back on. That has been an answer people on me for years. George, hard to clean. George, hard to clean. It's all done because they were on my back so much. That's why we changed it.
See that? Now, so she said to me, well, you haven't George on. Have them send you a machine. I said, well, no, they only sent
we'll
me.
We'll take care of that, too.
I said, they sent me a DVD. I got a walk-in box. I'm all set with that, you know.
But you know what? And that's an interesting chance for people to turn that DVD on, that video. And I'm right there with them doing everything that I'm asking them to do. I'm doing it right there in front of them. And nothing is too strenuous where you hurt your back, your knees, or your legs. All athletes are troubled by too much exercise, not knowing when to stop.
Mm-hmm. Now, these are about, 45 minutes each, somewhere around
there? Yeah, and you can get them on at entry level where you just sit there and walk. If you want to sit down, drink some water, I'm there with you. Jump back on until you're ready. 2 weeks, you start feeling better. And that's an interesting thing to feel better because when you feel better, you look better.
I'm surprised that you haven't come up with an exercise machine yet with your name on that.
That's next, coming around the corner. I'm trying to find something that really is safe. And you just don't want an exercise machine to make a few dollars. You want something that's safe.
You want it that's going to work.
Safety is not easy to find. You know?
Yeah, not only safe, but something that really works.
Yeah, you can make it work, but you want to, you know, the next day when you look at the person, you don't want them holding their hip or their side or their shoulders. You want them to feel like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah,
you, George. That's what I've gotten with the grill.
Yeah, you don't want them to exercise their phone fingers and call their lawyers suing you.
That'll happen too.
that's the kind of thing that you don't want to have. But folks, if you're interested, by the way, I found a great website. I'm not sure if it's your own website or not, but it's called BigGeorge.com.
That's me.
Yeah, it's a great website.
That's me. You can find me on there. And people email me, and I talk to kids all over the country that are interested in boxing and all other sports. They want to know how do they get started and looking for motivation. And I sit there and I email them right back. This goes on night and day. I never allow anyone to do my email but me.
The interesting thing is, folks, that if you go to the website, there's a big, the menu looks like a huge cheeseburger. And you can you know, get Puncher, Preacher, Youth Center, Family Man. There's different parts of the life of George Foreman all in this thing. It's a great website. And those of us who are listening at PNPnetwork.com we'll put a link on to George's two ones. We're going to put it on to biggeorge.com and also the walkwithgeorge.com so folks can get this video.
Yeah, that's a good email address there, too, website.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing is walking is so safe. If you can just tell people how great things you can do in your home with just walking, get a comfortable pair of shoes, doesn't matter the clothes you have on because you're in the privacy of your home, you don't need any other equipment. It's not like there's an ad, buy this and you get this, buy this and you get this. I'm just trying to sell them on what we all can do. Let's walk.
Yeah. One of the things I loved about this, the Big George site, the gift shop, folks in there can actually get autographed boxing gloves, which would be a great thing to have in the house. And one of the other things, it said something about you doing a fashion line for a company. What was that about?
A casual male, big and tall.
Ah.
I've been with casual male, big and tall, for a long time. I even have the George Foreman comfort zone. There are so many people who have big children, I mean big kids, big boys. And their parents don't, they send them to church in tracksuits because they can't find clothes that fit them in the shopping center. And I wanted to design clothes and put nice things out there so that you can look good. Now, you see an athlete like the Oakland Raiders and other football, basketball players, they can afford these expensive tailors. But for those mothers who are out there on a budget, they're trying to get these big kids who eventually will be big centers in the NFL. I got clothes for them that makes them look well, and they're not too expensive that they're going to break their pocketbook. George Foreman, casual male, big and tall, the comfort zone.
And I see something else here, too. George Foreman sausage products?
Yeah, I had the sausages. I no longer have the sausage anymore. I had a good run with the sausages. And I'm trying to think of a meat because I want to really get into chicken sausage, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, you know something? I love the honey mustard chicken sausages that companies make. And they're great on the grill, too, on the George Foreman grill.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the idea is there are a lot of things on there. I need to update my website, but generally people email me and I chat with them all the time.
Really?
All the time. I mean, and you don't keep up every couple hours. You got to update it because there are so many emails you get stormed.
Yeah, I get a ton of them at my website, and I try to deal with most of them myself as well. And
don't
because
you try, you really want to do it yourself. Isn't that incredible?
You really want
to because people are asking. They really emailing George this time, even with the grill. They keep saying, George, I had my grill and it broke, and I need this piece. What do you say? I got to find ways for them to get that piece.
Right. That's true, because your name's on there. You know?
Yeah, and you can never separate yourself from your name.
That's right, and you have a great name, and it takes a long time to build that kind of great name recognition and quality, and you don't want to screw it up over some...
You got to work, and that's the same with the casual male people. I said, we got the comfort zone, and I get emails, thank you, George, the clothes really fit, they were nice, I look nice in them, and they got to assure me, these companies, when I deal with them, that we're going to have that same quality insurance there.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the boxes that are around today? Anybody that you think...
Good boxes. Good athletes. As good as ever. But there aren't any celebrities. You just don't know who they are anymore. Writers, the media used to give us names. Smoking Joe Frazier. Big George Foreman. The Bear. The Rabbit.
Right.
The Brown Bummer. The Louisville Lip. They don't give us names anymore. So we're like... We're good athletes out there, but without recognition, and that's what we need. Television cannot make a boxer. It has to be written about. It has to be spoken about. Radio. And we miss the media. That's the only thing that's missing.
Have you seen that show, The Contender, at all?
Yeah, I even made an appearance on it.
Yeah, what did you think of it?
The Contender. I don't think it's really out yet, though.
Yeah.
The Contender. It's going to be a great one because it's going to acquaint people with the way we used to feel about boxing, bring boxing back into the living room.
Yeah.
And heroes again. I think they're going to love it. The country's going to love it.
Well, Frank Stallone's a good friend of mine, and I hope that for him and his brother that it works out well.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Great people.
Do you follow any other sports besides boxing? You like football, baseball?
I do like football. I love football, as a matter of fact. The Dallas Cowboys, until I die.
Really?
But they'll break your heart, I tell you.
They got the tuner there now, so you're all set.
I love him, too.
Yeah, no,
I like basketball. And what frightened me the other day, I don't know if you saw the athletes fighting in the audience and all of that.
Oh, yeah, the Detroit game.
I wanted to tell them that there was a time that boxing had a big audience like that. It was the most watched sport of all time. And then little things like that made the arenas empty out. And they left us and went to basketball. So I hope the young people learn to treasure the opportunity they have to have an audience like the professional basketball, and don't blow it like that. Don't ever do those things again.
I had a guy on my that's coming on the show. His name is Dangerous Dana Rosenblatt.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, and he told me that, you know, a lot of the stuff about boxing is not good. There's a lot of things in boxing that aren't good. He wants to come on and talk about that for a while. Do you find
like all sports, you know, we've had a lot of people in it we wish we would not have had, and they've caused a lot of problems. It's not the boxers. Boxers are really good guys.
Yeah, exactly. It's the promoters.
And a lot of the promoters, they get an easy ticket to promote boxing, and they figure, and that we have a long history of that. Doc Kearns would go in with Jack Dempsey and take all the money out of the town.
Right, exactly.
So we've had a long history of that.
Yeah, well, hopefully that
Don King.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
Don King has put on some of the best fights of the world. He promoted the Rumble in the Jungle with me and Muhammad Ali. We fought in Zaire. He was the promoter.
And he's quite a character.
Ali and myself. But
yeah.
In Africa, we had to sneak out in the night.
You know, he's been on the show a couple of times, and he's quite a character, Don King.
Oh, he is the show. He's the next to Bonham and Bailey, Bob Arum and Don King, the greatest men to ever promote anything.
Well, George Foreman is a great promoter, too. And George Foreman, you can get the new Walk It Off with George DVDs at walkwithgeorge.com. And go visit the biggeorge.com for all the different facets of George's life. I am honored and thrilled to have been able to talk to you today.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.